But one thing that makes Twitter stand out is that Twitter encourages free speech. That's one thing about Twitter.
But you know, it's very amazing.
Look at, have you seen terms and conditions for Threads app?
But wait, let me explain something. Human beings usually think that they want free speech until they have it. Then they will not start complaining.
Hello everyone, you're now listening to After Scrum with Ada
and Ami. Here we talk about what is new,
what's interesting,
and what you would have considered difficult to tell.
Lego!
Hello, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
Hi guys, techies and non-techies
in the building.
Welcome back to another episode of After Scrum
with Ada
and Ami.
How's your week been?
Well, my week has something exciting. I started working on a new project.
Ooh.
So yeah,
you told me about this.
I was pulled in.
Yeah,
within the week.
Okay,
actually.
Okay. Is it fun?
Yes, it's. New. It promises to be fun.
Okay.
You know, the timeline is not fun. But the project promises to be fun. Yeah. So that's something new. Yeah.
Okay. That's nice. I think this week too, I've just been on a timeline crunch as well. So.
I hate timeline crunches.
I hate them too. But I think I do my best work actually when I have like deadline, which is so insane. I hate it, but I still think it's necessary for me anyway.
Yeah, one of those programmers that say that they'll do it when it's time of right. Anyways, yeah. So that's all.
Yeah, I didn't have any interest in it. Yep.
I don't know. I'm complaining right now. This is our best year, Zada. This is our best. Before you know it, you'll be 30. And you can't even count. How many times have you gone to the club?
No, I've been telling, I was telling someone recently that my 30s, I'm looking forward to my 30s because I feel like
that's
my 30s is when I become a baddie. Yeah.
The thing that you have not done, you need to learn how to be a baddie.
No.
You don't just
I'm going to magically grow it in. Once I turn 30,
metamorphose into a baddie.
That's perfect. No, that's how it's going to work for me. Okay. Once I'm 30, pew.
Baddie. I like to see it happen.
Don't worry.
I'm actually very worried because I feel like I'm living a totally boring life.
Yeah.
And I don't like it. This is why I'm supposed to have stories for grandchildren.
I think that, like, you know, it's something that we are, at least you have it in mind that okay, you actually like want to do.
Yes, I want to.
So when any fun opportunity comes in, you'll be ready to
grab it. I will
be
on my bed. I think that's even the problem.
Yes, because
it's a personal problem now.
You see,
I don't want to get used to this lifestyle. I don't like it. I do like seeing other people's weekend pictures and I'm on my bed scrolling.
Honestly, these days, when I see weekend pictures, right, people post online, I'm like, wow. I don't understand how people are doing it. This is the same 24 hours that we have because my back is paining me. I actually spent this weekend just trying to, my base of my spine has been in serious pain since, and I've been 2 days to get massage.
Speaking of base of, so sorry about that, But like I had this issue some weeks back and mine, I know I caused it because I'm one of these people that you have your decks, you have your chair, it's awesome. But I choose to do my work
on the bed.
On the couch or on the bed.
Why?
So it was really, really bad.
I wish I used to actually sit down on the bed. I purposely don't because I don't know if I'm sitting upright, that's when I'm working, right?
Yeah.
If I'm on the bed, it's actually because my back is hurting. And
I'm sorry.
I think it's just because
I think my own said correcting. I forced myself to sit down, then instead to correct. So
And that's it. I think it's also I was about to say that the posture is actually part of it, right? I feel like the way I used to sit, right, when I'm sitting down and like maybe I'm thinking about like what's the solution to this thing now, I'll just sit down
and you'll be slouching.
Like something like that. And then I think that's what causing it, right?
So we need to have like better postures. And stuff. I think it's very important for this kind of work that you sit down for hours.
Honestly. Yeah, by the time you know what's happening,
you have a boring life. By the time you know it, you're 30, you're 35, you have back pain, and you did not live out your 20s. I don't like this story. I don't like this story at all.
Don't worry, I need to do something about it eventually. Yeah. Speaking about, like, you know, our lives in tech, what interesting things have been happening in tech this week?
Okay, so within the week, a little bit told me that Mark Zuckerberg actually found our video where we're talking about what Elon Musk is doing and decided that it's right time to put out the thread app. And he did. Yeah. So you're welcome, Mark. You know, I know you got the idea from us, you know.
Ocean influencers.
Yeah. And then guess what? This thread app has been getting so much buzz, but I think the buzz is beginning to die down.
I don't think so, actually, because as of today, they said they have 96 million followers.
Wow.
As against, and this app just came out like 3 days ago.
But then you now check it. Yeah. The owner of this app has an app where you have 500 million daily users.
Wait,
it's 10%. Okay, it's like about 20% now. Mm-hmm. For the mass, not the mass. It's about 20%.
Mm-hmm.
Of Instagram users, they are now on the thread app.
I think they're one of the reasons why the thread app is a 10. I'm actually not on it yet, but why I feel like one of the reasons why it's a 10 is the ease of which, like, you know, people can easily port to the thread app and get there. They don't have to start from zero.
They
already have like number of followers. You don't have to start from please follow me, I follow back.
Mm-hmm. but then you can actually request to follow your followers on Instagram, and then if they accept
that's when so let's say technically now if someone's already a friend on Instagram,
they actually scored something with the ease of adoption, ease to switch back to Instagram,
and in also case. And that's saying because of the fact that a lot of people already annoyed with Elon Musk shenanigans, I feel like it was also played very well into
He listened to us, but
but I think that was actually interesting.
I don't find it exciting. Maybe because
there is no violence.
I'm addicted to violence.
I think what I'm actually finding interesting is the fact that Elon Musk is deciding to sue, for like, you know, breach of contract.
Yeah, so that thing is very funny. You finish sacking your top
employees,
engineers,
exactly,
and then Meta now decides to employ them, and now you are going to cry that why did you take my people?
I know it doesn't work. What I'm hearing, right? Meta is even claiming that they didn't use any of the engineers.
We didn't pay
Talk about the timeline. Talk about the timeline, right? I actually feel like, you know, this thread. I want to believe that this thread app has been in the works for some time now.
You know, it's possible that.
Except this app has really undergone beta testing, going to be here, and then you know the place of like testing and stuff like that. So obviously this app was built for like
for
a while. So it wasn't just like, you know, the way we do what they call this thing that we do,
rapid development.
No, this one was not rapid development. Even if it was rapid development, every single step
feel like it was and I actually do feel like it was rapid development. Is the way I think that's when
because apparently from the news there's moving around, right? Mark Zuckerberg tried to buy Twitter once and he couldn't. So probably around the time when, like, you know, he was trying to buy Twitter and he couldn't,
he started building.
Yes, and Elon Musk. So I think that actually they started working on this thread app around the time that Elon Musk bought it. And then Elon Musk was introducing policies.
Twitter.
Yes. Okay, I might be of all the, like, you know, the new Twitter clones, as I'm calling them now, because now we have Twitter, we have Blue Sky, we have
Thread.
Thread. What's the name of this?
Truth Social.
These are the popular ones, actually. Now, of all these apps, right, in the end, right, which one do you think is going to stand the test of time? Why?
See, when I got back to Twitter from Thread app, I felt like I was at home. I don't need to tweet. Twitter has this feel. One of the reasons why I like Twitter, so I think other apps can be other things, whatever they want to be. But one thing that makes Twitter stand out is that Twitter encourages free speech. That's one thing about Twitter.
But you know, it's very amazing.
Look at, have you seen terms and conditions for Threads app?
But wait, let me explain something. Human beings usually think that they want free speech until they have it. Then they will not start complaining. These guys are talking about this thing this way, or these guys are talking about this thing this way. Well, I think that that's what it has going for it right now.
Yes, the that's fact that what
you, and whatever you want to do, whatever you want to say, you can say it, right? And this is fine. Mm-hmm. But
that's what makes Twitter, if you ask me. Because of that, people can talk about politics. People can talk about anything because
that means afraid of being banned. But since Elon Musk has become like CEO, right? Have they actually like banned anyone?
I haven't heard.
Okay.
Because it was Jack. You know.
But you know that the banning, it might actually be happening to like, you know, people that are not as influential. I think the banning that became actually like, you know, a thing was like when people saw like they actually banned.
No, it wasn't just then. I know that I've been seeing it like every once in a while you hear they banned this person, they banned this person.
Okay.
It's the same way that Instagram don't used to waste time. 2 seconds, they don't remove your account. You're already going to their support to go and ask for help.
What's
so happening? That I think that's going to be like a major difference. I got on Thread app and it feels like I'm on Instagram extended.
Yeah. So if right, you're saying that okay, Threads actually felt like Instagram extended and not necessarily a Twitter clone.
Yeah.
Then what? Why do you think that Elon Musk's lawyer or Twitter's lawyer? Why do you think he became like agitated about the fact that you know this Threads app just came out? And,
okay, like, so I feel like Thread is not Twitter. Thread cannot be Twitter because of the policies, which is what makes each app different. But these people are fighting for a space of community building. So I think that's what it's all about. And now you know that. Of course, if it comes to numbers game, Thread is going to win. Thread is coming from a background of a whole lot of numbers.
Yeah.
So it's very easy to start.
I think that one major the downturn for Thread app is actually like the fact that it's coming from that background where it feels like Meta is trying to control the social
media space.
Because they have Facebook, they have Instagram, they have WhatsApp.
Of course.
They have now they have Threads.
Of course.
And everybody's like, I don't understand. Is it everything that you want to do?
Oh.
That, like you know, and people are afraid of the fact that you know they're saying that what's his name, Mark. Used to sell people's data,
of course. Like that. I think that's like one of the major, and I think that's like a major difference between.
What app doesn't, right? What app currently does not sell
not
your
like what
data?
App doesn't, or it's like the extent
of the sale, or maybe people. I think that the reason why, like you know, people are very hard or difficult on Mac because of the data sale thing was because of how it came out at the time, and maybe because of at that point, like they didn't understand when they said,
is that really how it came out? We just know, like, if I chat you about okay, wedding ring, once you go on Instagram, you're going to start seeing wedding ring apps,
but they have the, it's their app, right? They own all of them. It makes sense that you know they share the between the apps, right? It makes sense.
All this data privacy thing is just a scam. And okay, they're selling your data because it's your data from somewhere else that they got and they said, okay, this is what and that is what advertisers are paying for.
Exactly. That's what
they're paying for your data.
That's actually how they're making their money.
They're selling your data.
Exactly.
And I think it's really, really obvious with Meta apps. Meta community of apps.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I still don't see the major difference between Instagram and Thread. Like I don't see the value, extra value proposition of Thread.
But they say they want to make it more text based. That's where
people will still post because people are coming from an Instagram background. People are still going to post pictures. Everywhere I enter Thread, everybody's posting pictures. Everybody's posting pictures. People are even posting videos. So that's the background that people are coming from.
Yeah.
Right. So you don't expect them to. The only way, like what I felt like Elon Musk should have done when he was trying to implement all these policies is via social engineering. Now, social engineering is a way you start to condition people's minds to do something, not force them to do it immediately. Right? And I feel like how Instagram grew is also true a little bit of social engineering. I felt like
because
some of these
then,
influencers, yeah, they start paying them so that people will start feeling like, oh wow, I want to be like this person. Before then, nobody really cared about it. Wasn't a competition. Mm. It was just an app where you post your pictures. Mm. Did you get?
Yeah.
And at some point, it started looking like a competition.
Mm.
I think it's a social engineering thing, and I felt like it was deliberate.
Yeah.
To get people to where they want them to be, so that they can start running ads. So I think if they are going to make it text based, it's going to take a while, but they are going to like kind of engineer it and get people to that
place where they
start thinking about texting more than pictures.
Yeah, okay.
So that's what I think.
I think one of the reasons why, like, you know, another part of the app that maybe can be seen as a drawback is the fact that, you know, people start getting scared kind of when they said, okay, if once you have the thread app and you delete the thread app,
deleting your IG.
Yeah, so deleting your IG account.
That's the thing. If anything with Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, no, but anyway,
I know that people don't read terms and conditions.
Oh, please. I think that, because in the end, right, people usually feel that, at least for me, if I don't read like something, there's a terms and condition, and I'm not bothering to read it, because I know that if I like, let me read this thing now. I'm still going to click I agree.
No,
so I need the application or whatever it is. That's why I'm there. Except if it's something that I don't necessarily need, or I have a choice. Exactly. Then I now get to it. I now decide to read it. But if it's something I want, there's no matter what to put in your terms and conditions. I'm just going to accept.
Yeah,
right? The only thing is that for whatever reason, there's any legal implication of me agreeing, I'm not gonna see, you're not gonna show me in part of the terms and conditions that is there. But before then, I'm not even thinking about that. I'm just thinking about the fact that, you know, I just want to do this. Anyway, I think I've actually set the premise for our topic today, is copycat culture, like, you know, the place of innovation and imitation in tech industry. Yeah, because you know, when it became a serious conversation, when a lot of people are saying that Mark Zuckerberg is always copying. Because apparently, I didn't know this, but then there's a Facebook dating app, which is supposed to be like a Tinder clone.
Wow.
There's a...
what's the name of this Facebook app?
Facebook dating or something. But did you see the thing?
It's interesting. Yeah. Sounds like where you meet old people. I mean, it could be a place... I don't know.
I don't know, maybe because Facebook...
Could it be a sugar daddy site?
Go ahead.
Facebook is for old people. Think about
why do people keep saying Facebook is old people?
It's old people app.
Okay, I think that's actually maybe one of the reasons why it didn't, like, you know, go far.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that Facebook already was, if you think about it, the Meta applications that seem to be doing very well are the applications that they actually acquired. Instagram, they acquired it from those two guys, right? And then WhatsApp, they bought it from this other guy.
Yeah.
And then, okay, Facebook is no more as popular.
Legacy,
And then, which other one now? Okay, these threads now. Mm-hmm. Well, threads, they didn't acquire it. So let's see how it goes.
Okay.
Because I feel like usually when they bring out the new app, there's a buzz around it.
Of course.
And then, after a while, so you might actually be onto something when you said that you feel like the buzz is actually dying down with time.
Yeah, I actually do feel like, or maybe it's just because I'm in the Nigerian space. You know that Thread app is not available in some countries yet. Because my friend, she stays in Sweden, and she said, can you imagine, Thread app is not already here.
Yeah, I think that a lot of them actually have like issues with the whole data privacy.
Maybe it has to do with like the country's
restriction. I think that's
for data stuff.
Yeah. So when I found out that, like, you know, they have a clone for even Snapchat, they have a Snapchat clone.
Facebook has Snapchat stories.
No, they have a Snap. Wait, is that what it is?
Are you
sure? Mm.
Because they stole stories from Snapchat.
Yes.
And then Twitter now adopted it as well.
Yes, exactly.
But I don't know. I think Twitter eventually had to kill it because it doesn't really add to what Twitter is.
It does,
yeah.
I think that they actually took it off probably when Elon came.
No, I think it's before. Because it was like, it was taken away from the essence of what Twitter is.
Yeah.
So they just killed it. I think they just test run it for a bit.
Yeah.
But you know, Facebook plus Snapchat equals to stories.
Yes.
Facebook plus TikTok equals to reels.
Yes, actually, I also found out that Facebook also has, like, you know, a TikTok app. Apparently, like, they have like an application that's supposed to be like TikTok clone. Yeah, exactly. But it just didn't go as far as so that's why people are saying that I'll put it there. But they also have like, you know, so when people are saying, okay, that it seems as if Facebook is always copying. I'm usually like, when I heard that line of conversation, I was wondering to myself, like, what big tech company doesn't?
Yeah, like, but I think Facebook's own is very, very glaring, because most times they don't even waste time. Give these apps like a year of existence, they have already copied you. So I think it's this thing where they'll first look at, okay, who are the founders of this thing? Do you think we should buy it? Abi, can we build it now? We can build it. What will it cost us to build it? What will it cost us to buy it? Their followers and all that. What do we really need from these people? When they now look at it, they now choose, okay, are we buying or are we stealing? Or are we cloning? And then they now choose the way
that is, like, you know, cost
effective. The one that is cheaper for them now, of course.
Yeah. Technically, I think that it's not even just about, like, you know, if they get to, like, either take. I feel like most companies, especially big tech companies, right?
Yeah.
They feel that if they don't, they need to stay on top all the time.
Yeah.
And if they see that something is working out for this
somebody else,
it makes sense that they either, like, you know, just like you said, buy it or clone it.
Or they clone it.
Right?
It's very, so the other time last year we talked about Adobe, which is a giant, buying Figma. And I said that till tomorrow, Adobe cannot build Figma because they don't know what Figma will be. And I felt like Figma, as in for what it is right now, is because of the community surrounding it and founders. Adobe doesn't have those people. And Figma is not an app that is like stagnant. There are some apps that they are just like the way it is. Like Snapchat now, I don't think
They've been evolving. It's just that
the only thing I think evolves in Snapchat is their stickers.
Yeah,
and filters. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I know that recently. I'm not really on Snapchat except like I use the filters and then I take pictures and then that's it. So I'm not really like chatting on the. But I know that there are people that actually like love Snapchat and they use it to send. There's this stuff they do where like if they don't send. Streaks or something like that's what they call it. So if they don't send someone a streak, I'm not sure I understand what that means exactly, but I hear like some of my friends, they're like, oh no, I've not sent a streak today, and I'm like, okay.
So if they don't send a streak, or
they lose their streak. It's just like Duolingo streaks. I'm using my Duolingo sense to think that it's like if you don't do your Duolingo in a day, you lose your streaks. So I'm guessing that maybe the streak is if they don't send a picture or post a picture somewhere. I don't know where they need to post it. But then it's a thing actually, right?
Okay, so they've been defined it. It's a thing for them. But besides the streaks, the chatting, and what else? So I don't think there's any new thing that they have been able to add to their apps besides the filters. But there are some apps where they continuously evolve.
You think that like that's Figma. Actually like...
Figma has always been evolving right from the beginning.
You think that that's a product of the people that own it? Or is it that at this point there's something else to add to this app? No, just leave it and be something else.
So it just depends. Depends on the people that own it and the direction they have for the app. But you see something like Figma. Figma is like something that is strongly community-based, right? And you need to keep evolving to
get user feedback, work on it. Yeah,
and because it's about the people that use it, you know, that's how they made like their branding to be like, right?
Yeah,
it's not something you can just easily have. You can't make up something like that. It's not like Adobe doesn't have their own community, but Adobe has like so many products, and for them to have a community, you now be looking at a Facebook, a Photoshop community, Illustrator community, this one community, and really, since when I was doing my graphic design stuff, maybe because they didn't try to push the community towards us, but I didn't get much about it. But Figma communities are everywhere. They have community representatives and advocates in so many countries.
Do you understand? Yeah.
So I feel like for an app like that, it's always going to keep evolving. And if Adobe wanted to build it, they are going to play catch up because they don't know what these guys are going to build.
I don't necessarily think that they're supposed to build another Figma, right? Build something that looks like Figma, that has the core features of Figma, which is you want to be able to collaborate with the
designers and developers. So why would people want and then to now, Figma?
It's just like asking, right? If you remember during the COVID period, right? Mm-hmm. When COVID just started, everybody was on Zoom, everybody was using Zoom to make their video conferencing calls. Mm-hmm. Then within a few months, Google Meet, Microsoft Teams, all of them have
existed though.
Did they exist before Zoom? Yes. So why did Zoom take the lead? Did they exist before Zoom?
I believe they did. I think Zoom was just positioning.
I think that they were still in beta testing or something like that in that phase. Because I feel like at the time, everyone was using Zoom. Okay. But let's assume that, okay, at the time, all of them were there. But they are essentially doing the same thing, which is video conferencing. Mm-hmm. But there's sometimes when like you just feel like, I just want to generate a link on Google Meet and then just make my send the link to the person. Or okay, I'm already on Teams with this stuff, let me just send the person like Teams. Or you're on Slack actually has their own have their own video conferencing built into the app. So the convenience of it, right? So it's just like saying, okay, what stops like, you know, maybe let's say Teams, or like, why do they have to build their own part of the application?
So I think that's one of the reasons why Zoom's market share has really drastically gone down since the COVID pandemic has left us. When you look at apps like this, you see that Google Meet has a lot to offer. Google as a product company, they have a lot to offer. It's not just Meet. Meet is just their video conferencing stuff. So you could be doing something, maybe you could be working on a calendar or a document with somebody, and you guys are like, let us see each other physically. You now move to Meet. Then you have Teams, right?
By the way, I think that Microsoft tried to buy Zoom at one point, and the guy refused to sell.
So Teams now, they have like things that they are doing already. They have is a collaborative platform, and they're like, why don't we have our own? Like, it's going to cost us more to be paying someone else to use their service. So they build it. So like all those ones, I feel like they were built for their specific platforms. So if you want to use their platform, you get to use their video conference.
But they essentially still at the very core.
Yes, so they are adding value to an existing product.
So what you're saying is so what your argument is that, like, you know, when it's that you are trying to add value to a specific niche or a specific product, then copying in that sense is not really copying.
I'm not saying it's not copying, it's still copying. Everybody copies, down to graphic designers, down to UI UX designers, down to programmers. We all copy, you get. But I'm saying that it's different when you're building a copycat product and when you're building something as a feature to add to a product.
Because if we actually go by that,
because Thread is a copycat product.
Why? Because
when this thing came out, you know, I told you that was it you? I don't know if it was you or Nova. I told that. I told somebody that I feel like in a couple of years, this Thread is going to die because I can't see the value that it's adding to other apps.
That are already existing in the meta space.
Yes, I didn't see the value that it's adding to it.
I think that probably this part of Thread is like test run. Let's test the waters. And then from there, it cannot evolve into whatever it is that they want it to be.
But even when it comes to copying, everybody copies.
Yeah.
It's either you're copied or you're buying. and when it comes to buying, it's about who has the bigger bag. Who has more money?
Do you think that, maybe the fact that tech companies can afford to just buy out or build any application that they choose, do you think it's detrimental to the people that are not, like, maybe let's say someone is independently building something, right? And you know that, okay, if for instance Microsoft or Meta sees this thing now, they can ask their team of engineers, take your specs and ask your team of engineers to build this thing instead of buying it from you.
Yeah.
And they have more money, so they are better positioned to have more people on it. Exactly. So do you think at what point does copying become a problem?
Okay, so what I feel for people who are building products now, I feel like you need to build niche products. Products is all about, it's not just by building it, you need to have people that can use it. Look at fintech apps. All the fintech apps are the same. All the banking softwares are the same. Everybody is copying everybody. But now they have their own specific community. If you look at Discord and you look at Slack, they're not so different. Just that one is targeted to gamers and now to crypto communities. And the other one is targeted to work and office people. So the difference is not much. So when you're there are so many people that build like their own software as a service companies, right? Some of them, they may not be as big. Some of them may just be like earning 10,000, 20,000 a month. But they have their communities that they are serving. So I think it's all about finding your community, finding something special that can make them relate to you, and then serving that community. You can't serve everybody. It's just like in music, you have Afrobeats, you have Ote, you have R&B. You get, so there are people that serve different communities. So I just feel like focus on the community you want to serve, and if your community grows, awesome stuff. But just focus on who you are trying to serve and market to them.
Okay, I think that's sound. I just I'm actually like worried about, like, you know, just like you said, now you know, focus on your niche. But I'm still worried about like the fact that it's still very easy for, like, you know, the people that have more money than you to decide to, like, you know. But I don't think that should actually, like, stop anybody from building whatever it is they want to build. And if we say that everybody copies, right, I'm actually still thinking about, like, okay, what's now the place of, you know, because if all the apps are the same or doing the same thing, right,
then that what you are, you are.
So that makes this part to be dancing around. This part to be, but if all the apps are, then where is the place of, like, you know, innovation and, like, you know, where does it come in? And is it, should we actually just accept that, you know, at this point, sometimes I feel like there's nothing else to innovate, right? No, there, because technically, in terms of like software applications, right? I feel like at this point, there's no single thing that you think about, okay, I want to find an app that does this thing.
You probably find something like that.
But maybe it does have something specific that you're looking for.
Yeah.
And then you now decide, okay, maybe I want to add this part. So how do you decide that you want to add it? You decide, okay, you know what, I'm going to join this team and work with this team and just so that I can be able to, you know, add this feature to it. Or do you decide to build a completely new application with your new feature added to it? You get. And even if I think that that's the, like, decision that people now need to make, like, when before they start building applications, right? Because even if you have, like, okay, even if you decide to build this application and now add this extra feature, do you actually have, because when you finish building the app, that's not where, building the app is like the easiest part, right? When you finish building the app, how do you actually, like, make sure that, like, it hits, like, the people that are actually, like, a target market? How do you actually get it out there? So, because otherwise, like, you just feel very woefully.
In the beginning of the process of building an app, there's something that's called UX research. So that's like the beginning. To, before you even start building anything, before you start designing anything, you want to know, okay, these are the people I'm building for. That's why they used to do persona. This is the person I'm building for. These are their pain points that they've not been able to solve, despite the fact that this product is already available.
Yeah.
Now, when you know it, you're building products for somebody to use.
Mm.
Because I think most of the time, some of us developers, we're always in our bubble that or more technology, this technology, badass technology. Yeah. But you're not building things that people want use. And people exactly. need and people will use. Mm. You're not giving them the exact solution that they want. So no matter how badass your technology is, you're not giving them what they want. Exactly. It's not what they want.
Yeah.
So I think it's all about knowing what the people want.
Uh-huh.
When you now know what they want, you now say, this is how I'm going to build it for them. And in the process of building a product, there are, like, at some point when you have a UX, they used to do, like, I can't remember what it's called. So you have users, your prospective users, come and test your product and know that these products can serve them. If not, you go back and adjust until it's a perfect fit. So I think that's where that comes to. That's where you now innovate around their problems.
Yeah, instead of...
There are so many things that you don't need to... You don't need to go and start doing what already exists. It's just like, for example, now all the ride-hailing apps, they almost all look the same. If someone gives you a ride-hailing app that looks like an e-commerce app, you'll be like, you'll
what's
be lost.
Happening exactly.
You'll be lost.
Yeah.
So no matter, like, there are little differences here and there, but there, the core functionalities are always going to be the same.
Yeah.
No matter what color, what icons, whatever you want to use, all those ones are just there. If your product is not serving the people first of all, minus those colors and icons, then you are already getting
you have lost it.
That's what I feel. So in terms of copying, everybody copies.
You just have to copy responsibly.
Copy responsibly and do it to your full chest.
Yeah.
Like Mark Zuckerberg.
Because he posted.
See, there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, he actually posted this meme that you, Spider-Man, that Spider-Man picture where, like,
he
posted it on Twitter.
There's nothing you can do about it, though.
Yeah. I think we're actually, like, in interesting times. I want to see eventually. I think that actually the biggest losers in this whole Threads versus Twitter thing is actually going to be Blue Sky. But everyone was looking forward to Blue Sky. People had, like, for kind of like they had like a whole longest waiting list of people waiting for Blue Sky to come out. You know,
Jack
Dorsey is Blue Sky.
Yeah, Jack.
And it's so sad because I don't think he knew.
But when opportunity meets someone that's
preparation.
Prepared,
oh no,
that's it.
It's insane.
Unfortunately, he wasn't prepared.
Yeah. Oh well. Thank you guys so much for listening to us today.
So what do you guys think? Are you on Thread? As in, After Scrum is on Thread.
Yeah,
now,
it's true.
We are threading. Do you know, like, we already have over 100 followers on Thread.
I see.
We are fans. We are fans.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Thank you guys for following us on Thread. Yeah. And let me know what you think about this Thread app. I still feel it's initial growl. See, like, that's how I feel about it. I feel it's an initial grab.
Yeah, I'm on the let's wait and see.
Yeah, but I think it's an exciting watch. You know, like, we're talking about this in the last episode, that when you give someone an alternative to something they are used to and it's more convenient for them, they will jump on it. Yeah. And these guys actually built what I would call a perfect MVP. It's because, convenient and it's easy to jump in.
Yes, exactly. And they built it at the perfect time because that was exactly the point where everybody was like, what the bloody hell is wrong with Elon Musk?
Yeah.
And then he released the app. Because, you know, the funny thing, they said they were supposed to release the app a day after. And he said they released it a day before. And it was like, you know how him and Elon Musk already had, like, a fight planned?
Man, looking forward to that fight.
Yeah, and then it's also amusing to me that, like, you know, while Elon Musk was busy preparing for the fiscal fight, Mark was like, you know what? We'll do this. They are beating the ring. By the way, who are you supporting? I think Mark is going to beat Elon Musk.
I don't know. I don't choose. Look fit to me.
It's not about being fit, Jao. In the weight category, he's stronger. Well. And
but it's not by weight. Do you know this savior. Guy? There's this guy. What's this guy?
And he's also
this
training.
Guy that is a weightlifter.
Who is that?
That looks very skinny. And he always does skits. And you go and meet people.
Okay.
Atanoli,
I don't know his name, but he's dressed like a janitor.
A cleaner, yeah. And then you now lift it up and you're like, wow.
He's okay. He's
that guy has core strength for this.
It's about weight, right? Yes. But then I'm not saying is that, like, you know, you have to remember that one thing with Elon Musk that I've been saying since this whole fight started is that Elon Musk is giving me vibe of someone that is going to win by all means. He does not care how what it takes.
Yeah, it doesn't look like Mark, someone that takes Mark, loss as well.
Exactly. Yeah. But Mark looks like someone that's going to want to play by the books. He's going to, so he knows.
I think Mark is full of surprises.
See, actually, that's another reason why I'm like, okay, you know what? Let's keep our fingers crossed for Mark. I want Mark to win. But then, I only want Mark to win because I just want to see the kind of tweets that Elon Musk is going to put out in the next few days after his loss.
I want Elon Musk to win. Why? Since he bought Twitter, I've been tweeting him.
Why?
I feel like it's the worst decision of his life.
I don't think that. I actually don't think that buying Twitter has affected Elon Musk as adversely as people used to put it out, honestly speaking. I think that Elon Musk is just having fun with this whole Twitter thing.
They are billionaires. What do I know?
I think he's just having fun with what's going on and then catching cruise. And everybody's like, he lost $4 billion. Of course, he's a businessman, and even if, no matter how much he loses, even if he's small, he's of course going to feel bad. But
did you say small? He said $4 billion and small in the same sentence. Yes, guys, let's know what you think about it. And if you are looking forward to the fight, like I am looking forward to
it. I'm going to watch it, God knows.
If you live stream it, oh my God.
That's going to be like the, you should have streamed it on, hey, which of them have like, if they have like a live stream, do you know what trends could do that could blow? If they can put like a live stream feature.
like Instagram Live. Instagram. They'll just duplicate it.
And then they put on trends. Oh. And then that's, they'll now live stream the fight. Oh my God. Now everybody have to join trends. But then, and if Elon Musk is not fast enough to build it into Twitter, ask them to build it into Twitter. Well,
no, you're the commentator.
But they don't have, it's not the same thing as watching it. Okay, but then the commentator thing is actually a good idea. What he can do now, actually, you know, since we advised Elon Musk, Mark, and he released, let's advise Elon Musk to start like a, let's try to kind of like social engineer the commentating thing, to evolve the whole idea of Twitter Spaces so that people can actually, like, you know, talk about life events with their, just like describe life events.
Trust me, if it's the life, if the event is happening, it's going to happen on
all the platforms. Like, I know. It'll be so interesting, so nice. So anyway, don't forget to like, subscribe, follow us if you have not followed us, and peace out.
Bye.